but never.
His prayers, everybody will be happy over there.
Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good. He blessed us to be here. Some of you look like God not good to you this morning. You're not smiling this morning. God is good, isn't he? Do you love God? Sing it with me. I really love the... Sing it if you mean it. Oh, well, I really love the... Yes, and you don't know. Yes. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. And you don't know what. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what. Yes, you sound good. Oh, yes, he gave. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. Amen, amen, amen. I knew you were going to wake up. If you are visiting with us this morning, you are truly our honored guest. And we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. This is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we do thank you for being here with us this morning on the Lord's Day. I know some would call it Easter Sunday this morning, but it is the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week, and we hear every Lord's Day that we're alive, amen, somebody. And so if you made the choice to visit with us, we are so happy you did this morning. But we're here every Sunday, so you can come by anytime. Thank you. Thank God. I want to do this morning. I've started a lesson series the last couple of Sundays. And I want to diverge from the series today. I hold that option sometimes to change my mind on what I'm going to preach about as I study the Lord's Word. And so don't come here just knowing Bragier going to preach on this Sunday, because you just might not know that. Amen. And I want to give an edifying lesson I hoped that will edify us, but inform us, and most of all will glorify God at all times. And I've entitled the lesson this morning, Easter. And some of you may have heard some of this before, but it's not going to hurt you to hear it again. A good time to educate, especially for those maybe perhaps is watching by way of television this morning. Thank God for you. We have a program that comes on, 30-minute program, and often they accuse me of not finishing the lesson in 30 minutes. I go long and they can't see it all. So I'm going to dive right in this morning. The lesson is entitled Easter. And so you see on the screen, I use four different terms. Actually, it's actually more than that. Easter, Oystera. The intended purpose of Easter is to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day after his crucifixion. And that is pretty much the intended purpose for which it is celebrated on this particular Sunday. And for those of us that are Christians, the resurrection of Jesus is our victory march. Amen. Amen. It is what separates, what distinguishes Jesus from anybody else that has ever lived on this earth. It is what makes him our King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know, as I know, there are a lot of great men and women who've lived in this earth, who've actually done some wonderful things. But who would you rather have? Somebody who can talk about death or somebody who conquered death? Who would you have? Who would you rather have as your leader? Someone who can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art the person who's with me, who conquered death, who knows all about it. Anybody, can anybody here tell me how death is, how it was, you came and came back? I didn't think so. Nobody, you can't, and nobody who's ever lived before you. So it is for that reason that we do esteem Jesus above all names on this earth. The Bible would tell us in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered to you, Paul, to the church at Corinth, and to us today, as of first importance. And it is for us the ultimate. It is the culminating act that makes Jesus of first importance over any business, any person you may have. What I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. According to 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Yes, and it did sting even Jesus. And the power of sin is the law of Moses. Matter of fact, all of God's laws demonstrate how God hates sin. And you can fool yourself if you want to, but God despises sin. And it is the law that reveals how much God hates sin and the power of sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask a few questions today and educate. I hope your children are even listening today. We do have Bible hour for our small kids, ages 5, I believe, through 11, across the street. And that is for you. I was supposed to make that announcement earlier, but I forgot. But if you're here now, just hopefully if they can hear you, you'll understand what we're talking about. But where did we get the word Easter? Where did we get the word Easter? And, you know, some of us may want to know that. Then some folk don't even care. And I know that. We live in a world that, you know, folk just do it. It's so busy and we're doing what we want to do. But I've always been curious. And I hope you would stay that way as children of God, especially that you don't just follow anybody because they're doing whatever. That you want to know why. Well, why? If I was a kid, you know how kids ask the question, why all the time? They're why. Well, a child is going to ask you, Daddy, what is Easter? Why do we come? Why do we sit? Don't you want to know? Listen to the word of God, Matthew 15:14. This is Jesus talking. He said, let them alone. And he was speaking actually of the Pharisees and leaders. He said, they are blind guides of the blind. And I just tell you what, let's open our eyes. And we certainly don't want to be somebody blind that another blind person is leading us. And if the blind guides or leads the blind, the Bible says both will fall into a ditch. And so let's don't walk around to be uninformed about especially something that is as important to us as God's will and God's word for our lives. But back to history, if you will. According, some of this history comes from secular, from worldly history. But I want to reiterate the scriptures. And some of it may be, some of it may be, you may question it because it is secular history. But you know, everything that God even gave to us is written in his word. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so, but according to St. Bede, if you will, he was an English scholar. And a historian in the 8th century. 8th century would be 800, about A.D. You have B.C., which is before Christ, A.D. after Christ, and 8th century, so about 800 thereabouts. The word Easter is derived, the word Easter is derived from these terms, the oyster, Easter, Estera, all attributed to the pagan Saxon goddess, G-O-D-D-E-S-S, goddess. And Easter was the goddess of sunrise and spring. Did we know that? I mean, the word itself, and some of us may know it and may not, but I thought that was interesting. The word came from this goddess, a goddess of sunrise and spring. Actually, her name was Queen Semiramis, and she would be the wife of Nimrod. Now we're getting back to the Bible, thank the Lord. The wife of Nimrod, Genesis chapter 10, Nimrod, the son of Cush. I don't have time to read it all, so some of this is your homework also. Son of Cush, Nimrod. His name, Nimrod, was the mighty warrior, the mighty hunter. He was a mighty hunter for the Lord, and his hunting impressed people. But his name translated means rebel, or the rebel, if you will. And you read the story in Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11 of the children of Israel after the flood was over. After God had destroyed the whole world by water, they started to multiply. And these individuals started to build a tower to, try to build a tower to heaven in the city of Babel, if you will. Well, Nimrod was the culminating leader of that group. And you first read the story, you think it's just pretty innocent. But when you read about history about Nimrod, Nimrod really was a rebel. The Jewish historian Josephus, who is a well-respected scholar, who was neither Christian nor Israelite, he was just a historian. He wrote about Jewish history. Almost any scholars respect his writing. He wrote about a lot of events. He wrote about Nimrod. He said of Nimrod was actually angry that God destroyed the world by water. And he says he was angry, and he actually defied God. He says he was mad, and he says he wanted the people, instead of putting their trust in God, to put their trust in him. And he did win a lot of respect from people because he was good. Just like today, individuals who are good at something, they may be good at basketball, good at baseball, good at sport. We deify these folks. We act like they're good at everything. That don't mean, just because a man can shoot basketball doesn't mean he have a good moral character. But also it doesn't mean that he does not have a good moral character. So I'm not labeling somebody because they play, but we need to be careful how we deify somebody because they are quote unquote smart, if you will. There's more to it than that. Nimrod led all of these individuals to build this tower. But you know, God changed that plan, didn't he? And God confounded the language of the people. Because at that time, there was one language in the world. And God confounded their plans because it was in defiance of him. God wants us to put our trust in who? God and God alone. Amen. I love my wife, and she's beautiful, and I'm going to keep loving her. But she stopped loving the Lord and want me to turn from God. Baby, we got a problem. I'm going to love her. I'm going to pray for her. I'm going to labor over, call, go to the elders and tell them to pray for her. But if she want to serve the devil, she's going to be serving the devil by herself. Again, you said that, I said it. Amen. I didn't say I was going to divorce her. I just pray for her, okay? She's all right now, my baby. She loves the Lord. Amen. And I know I said it callously, but that's serious business. Because see, a lot of times we allow things to take lead us from God. And they deified Nimrod. And even when God defied the language, Nimrod still went about doing evil. And he built cities. You read it for yourself. He built cities. The Bible names some of the cities. And all of these cities, even many of them today, have associated with evilness and wickedness and idolatry and immorality of all. One of the cities he helped to build was Nineveh. Some of you Bible scholars know about Nineveh because it was Nineveh that God told Jonah, you go down there and preach to Nineveh because their wickedness cries out before me. Another city was Babel, where they started from. And even one of the prophets in Jeremiah, some of the scholars believe that idolatry originated in the area of Babylon. Listen to Jeremiah, if you will. And Jeremiah, everybody's all right? Stay with me now. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 7. Listen to Jeremiah. This is one of the prophets. He said, Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going mad. And Brother Gary, you haven't told us about Easter yet. Just keep listening. It's coming. It's coming. Listen to what else Jeremiah wrote about. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 16. Jeremiah 44, 16. This is the response of the people after Jeremiah warns them of evil that's going on. This is the response of the people. As for the message you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you. But rather, we will certainly carry out every word that has proceeded from our mouths by burning sacrifices to, notice this, the Queen of Heaven. No, and remember, Nimrod's wife is Queen Semiramis. And she is not individually mentioned in the Bible. History would tell you that was his wife. And history would tell you some other things about Queen Semiramis, that Nimrod, she was a woman of the world when Nimrod met her. But she was queen, and she loved that power. And listen to what else this is. And pouring out drink offerings to her, just as we ourselves, our forefathers, our kings, and our princes did in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food and were well off and saw no misfortune. Verse 18, but since we stopped burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have met our end by the sword and by the famine. See, one thing we have to be careful about, especially those of us as Christians, the children of God, as we sensationalize everything. We highlight what's wrong in our lives, and we don't count our blessings. Because, see, all of us got something wrong going on right now. But I tell you what, all of us got a whole lot of blessings. Excuse me this morning. Did everybody here eat yesterday? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you ate yesterday, you're blessed. There are a lot of individuals who, are you in the house? Have you just had surgery this morning? See, we got a lot to be thankful for. But you know, it just seems like we always highlight what's going wrong. I wish I had. You got enough right now. If you just thank the Lord. And these individuals are griming. They're complaining and whining to Jeremiah the prophet that we wish we had what we used to have. And they go on and say, that's why we're not going to listen to you. That's why we don't want to hear any more sermon. We're going to keep doing the same thing we're going to do. We're going to burn offerings, sacrifices, offerings to the Queen of Heaven. And then he goes on to say in verse number 20, then Jeremiah said to all the people, to the men and women, even to all the people who were giving such an answer, saying, as for the smoking sacrifices that you have that you burn in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your forefathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did not all of this come into his mind? So the Lord was no longer able to endure it. Because of the evil of your deeds, because of the abominations which you have committed. Thus your land has become a ruin, an object of horror and a curse without an inhabitant as it is this. He said, don't you understand? That's why you in all the trouble you in right now. Because your hard-headed self won't listen to God. See, that's what's going on right now. And then you still won't listen to God. And so what are you saying, Brother Gary? Well, pagan festivals were held in Queen Semiramis' honor centuries ago. And many people believe that the Easter celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, many people believe that it started right after the resurrection. Well, it did not. It did not because there was nowhere in the Bible for them to celebrate it. It actually started centuries later as a result of some pagan festivals that they were trying to pacify the people. You see, pagan festivals were held in honor of her around the same time of the year as the Jewish Passover. And you find the Jewish Passover in Exodus chapter 20. And the Jewish Passover commemorated the annual feast that the Israelites celebrated in remembering how God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. That would be in Exodus chapter 12. If you want to read it all for yourself. And so they celebrated this pagan festivals, sacrificing to Queen Semiramis, the sun god, whoever she was, and associated. Now it's associated with the Passover. And so when I say pagan festivals, a pagan is anybody who does not acknowledge God as the one true God. A pagan is anybody who is, some translations, is an unconverted one. And so they may celebrate anything. That's today we celebrate. Well, brother, how did a pagan festival turn into this Christian holy day? I'm glad you asked. See, history teaches us the traditional secular festivals of pagans were often merged with the observances of religious days. That's in history. You take Christmas. Somebody find December 25th in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. It comes from a festival, the Saturnalia, the worshiping of the sun, if you will. And so you have individuals who worship all kind of gods, the sun, the moon, the stars, or whoever they were. But individuals who convert to Christianity, well, they still got their worldly ways. And in an effort to appease people, in an effort to perhaps even convert people or make people feel comfortable, they allowed individuals to bring their pagan festivals, their pagan practices, and they some kind of in a way intertwine them with their present day beliefs in worshiping God. And so that's how the paganism got mixed with Christianity. And it was not from God for sure. It was something that men came up with to appease folk. Amen. So and now some of you say, well, girl, I don't need to know all of that. Yes, you do need to know that. But you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that's going to make you free. See, some of you may be wondering why we don't have the green grass and the eggs and why we haven't had our Easter egg hunt this year at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Well, we want you to know why. Amen, somebody. Not that we can't, not that we can't afford it, not that we don't love our children, not that we don't want to be popular, if you will. We want to make sure we're right with who? And God alone, amen, somebody. Well, Gary, you just the Grinch. No, I'm not the Grinch. I love eggs. I'm going to eat some today, amen, somebody. No. I'm going to have some real good dinner today. You see, I got a new jacket and I'm in the spring colors, amen, somebody. Yeah, but listen to the Bible, if you will. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, the brother read in you here in a few moments ago. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy. See, all of us have and some people have educated opinions about things. And some people have great words and how they deliver things. But don't be captivated by something because it's popular, something because even it's animated, it looks good, it sounds good, and empty deception. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now, stay with me right now. Stay with me. See, the spelling of Easter was eventually changed to its modern name, Easter, E-A-S-T-E-R. It's always celebrated between the dates of March the 22nd and April the 25th. Usually taking place the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on March the 21st. The symbol of the goddess Easter was a rabbit. Show that rabbit up there. I just wonder. That's the symbol of the goddess was the rabbit. As I was studying it, because, see, I've always, you know, my wife, we got kids, girls, and, you know, girls like little nice stuff, and I know I know they've had some Easter bunnies before. But as I've studied this, I said, you know, I'm going to tell my wife, baby, the grandkids, don't get them a bunny. Amen. That's just for me. I said, look, that was the symbol. And see, let me give you some more homework. Go read Deuteronomy chapter 17. Read it on your own and see how God told them, don't you make anything, any image of any likeness, and whether it's in the sky or whether it's crawling on this earth. Don't do any. That was under the old law. Now we're under the new law. I'm gonna make some statements about that and just say, but I just want you to know for your knowledge that the rabbit was the symbol of Easter, the goddess. I thought you needed to know that. I know some of you got some bunnies in your car right now. Ooh, that's all right. You don't have to hide them. The exchanging of eggs in the springtime is ancient custom. Not biblical custom, but it's an ancient custom. The Egyptians bared eggs in their tombs. The Greeks placed eggs on their tombs. There's a Roman proverb that says all life comes from an egg. In most cultures, the egg signifies birth and resurrection. Well, Brother Gary, how does God feel about idols? Are other gods? That's, again, your homework is due. I started to read it all, Deuteronomy 17, 2 and 5. That's Old Testament. See, in Old Testament times, this is Old Testament times. In Old Testament times, the penalty for serving idols was death. Very, very clear. Got the Israelites in a whole lot of trouble. Now, we're under the new law. The law of grace and truth is the New Testament. And listen to 1 John. I'll just read one passage. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. 1 John 5, 21. It says to us, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Guard yourself. Flee from idols. The Bible says this. And I know, but again, we're in the 21st century, and you know, people don't worship these things. I understand that the meaning of words change throughout the years. I know we're living in the world, and I know we can't avoid everything that used to be associated with paganism. Sometimes we get holy and thou. We say, we shouldn't be doing that. But we shouldn't be doing that. And some of it, you can't just hide from everything. Amen, somebody. When it comes Christmas time, all this stuff associated with Christmas, we shouldn't be. Well, there are a lot of things, you know. If you get a Christmas check at the end of the year, you want to avoid that one too? They say, this is your Christmas month. I don't want you calling that Christmas. Well, give me your check. That's all right. I'll take my check. Yeah. And then you take the days of the week. All the days of the week are pagan names. Did you not know that? Monday, moon day, from the moon god. Tuesday, Thursday, from the god Thor. And so well, now you're going to stop calling all your days? Well, see, in other words, you need to understand the meaning of everything. You know, how are we going to deal with all of these things? But one of the things for Christians today, we need to be very careful how we associate ourselves with things that people worship. Well, should Christians today celebrate the resurrection? Or how should Christians celebrate? I can't believe it. Some of you may be visible. Why can't I come to church? They don't want to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we do. Well, let's do it like they did in the Bible, if you will. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Listen to this. Luke chapter 22, 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ in just a few moments. Yes, everybody that's saints, we have the bread and the cup, which represents Jesus' blood and his body. We're going to do that. But listen, we don't do it just on Easter Sunday. We do it every Sunday. Every Lord's Day. Well, every Lord's Day, everyone. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I've received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. 1 Corinthians, brother's going to read that in just a few moments. Notice this, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Acts 27. And upon the first day of the week, what day is that? Sunday. That's the day. The first day of the week is the Sabbath day, was the seventh day. Sunday is the first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, guess what they came to do? Break bread. And so what we're doing today on the Lord's Day is a bit, we are remembering Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and we don't have to wait all year to do it. Next year, we do it every Lord's Day. Let the church say amen. Amen. Yeah, and so if you haven't ever experienced New Testament worship, New Testament worship in the Bible, they didn't do the Lord's Supper once a month. Once a year. They did it every Lord's Day. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, they took up money. Every preacher understand taking up that money every Lord's Day. Well, we don't have to do the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. That makes it too common. You mean you got something else we need to be doing that's more important than remembering the Lord's death, his burial, and his resurrection? Oh, my goodness. And so that's how we do it. That's how we do it. I need to give some more education before I sit down. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, because I know we have some educators, some readers, some scholars in here, if I didn't mention that the word Easter is found in one place in the Bible. That would be in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. Acts 12, 4, that's in your King James translation of the Bible, and I'll read it. And it says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him into four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And now notice, it's talking about, it says after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And this is in the King James translation. But the King James translators, when they originally translated this, they inserted the word Easter. Now, if you look at any other translation, you know, some of you may have New American Standard translation. Some of you may have NIV translation. In any of the modern translations, they don't use the word Easter. They use the word Passover. And see, it's actually the Greek word is pascha, P-A-S-H-U-A, pascha. I might have spelled that wrong. The Greek word, Greek was the original language that the Bible was written in the New Testament. And they translated pascha, which means Passover. Passover has nothing to do with Easter. Passover was the Egyptian commemoration of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And I say it simply because of this, is that the same word is used 28 other times in the Bible. 28 other times. Every other time, it's talking about the Passover. And so I don't know, the translators arbitrarily use the word Easter in the King James translation, but the meaning is still the Passover. It has nothing to do with what we are doing with Easter eggs and hunting eggs and rabbits, nothing to do at all with what is happening in today's time. And then in the book of 8, John said, brother, all that information, John, Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free, because you need to be educated and know what's going on. And so, well, tell me this, Brother Gary, can I eat eggs? Can I dress up on Easter? Can I have an Easter egg, huh? Well, let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Because God has given us some liberties and some freedom under the new law. But we're not free to do what we want to do. Do anything we want to do, quote unquote, in the name of the Lord. That's why I had the brother to read Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Don't let anybody deceive us with any kind of vain philosophy or tradition of men. But at the same time, know what your freedoms are. But don't abuse your freedom. See, you know, we eat eggs all the time. We dress up when we want to dress up. But understand it. Let me read an example that happened in the Bible, and let's see if we can make this apply and have our seats. But food will not commend us to God. The Corinthians had wrote Paul about some issues that were going on in the church. And mainly this particular issue is about eating meat sacrificed to animals, to idols. Eating meat sacrificed to idols, which in New Testament times would be a sin. If you're a Christian, you eat some meat that you know was sacrificed to the moon god, the bull god. That would be defying God's word. Even today it would be if you absolutely knew that. It says, but food would not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Listen to what are you saying? Go back to verse 1 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, that was when he began this discussion. We know that we all have knowledge. Then it says, knowledge makes arrogant, or knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. He says to all the Christians, those of you that's in here right now, you saints, all the believers, some of you know. There are things we know what the Bible teaches about a whole lot of things. But don't let your knowledge make you arrogant. In other words, I know that December the 25th is not in the Bible nowhere. I know that even if I put a Christmas tree in my house, I know that Christmas tree don't have nothing to do with God. I can put a Christmas tree in my house and I'll be just fine because I'm not worshiping that Christmas tree. Amen. I can put Christmas lights up if I want to, because I'm not worshiping the Christmas light. I know myself that nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus was born on December the 25th. Anybody else know that? I know that. And so I can put a Christmas tree up if I want to, because I'm not serving that tree. I'm not serving those lights. Amen. Amen. But if I put that Christmas tree up in my house, and I know everybody don't know exactly what I know. Some people really believe Jesus was born on December 25th. And sometimes we can do things to confirm what they believe, and it's false belief. Amen. And so while I know it, I may choose. I say, look, you know what? I don't want to make nobody stumble. I surely don't want to make nobody not believe. I don't want to make nobody any weaker. So that's why I'm not going to put up the Christmas tree. That's why I'm not going to put up the Christmas lights. Well, okay, I do what I want. You do. Yeah, exactly right. You do whatever you want to do. But be careful who see what you do. Amen. And be careful even if you violate your own conscience. Because whatever you're doing, if it's not of faith, the Bible says it's sin. See, you can be doubting, well, I don't know, should I do this? Should I not? Well, God is greater than your conscience. If something's telling you not to do it, then maybe you shouldn't do it. Amen, somebody. Now go back to the text. I don't want to sidetrack you. Now, they were talking about meat. I can eat meat. Look here, I'll tell you what. If the meat is good, it's cooked good, I don't care what. If you have time, read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, read the latter part of that chapter. And some of us need to stop asking questions about everyone. Where does meat come from? Quit asking questions. Just eat what's in front of you. Amen. That'll keep you out of trouble. That'll save your conscience also. Now, I can eat whatever I want to eat. I can eat eggs today. It's not going to bother me at all. But he said, be careful that you become a stumbling block. Notice this. One of the reasons why we at the Fieldwater Church of Christ, we choose not to have an Easter egg hunt at the church. That's a choice the elders, the leadership, and many of our members we make. Because see, if we have the Easter egg hunt, like I know prominent churches have had them, you have them on television, and some of them, that's their business. I'm not, that's what they want to do. But see, A lot of people associate the Easter egg hunt where we celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some do, some don't. Well, that's not what we're doing, amen. We told you how we're going to celebrate the resurrection every Lord's Day when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And so we do it, but we do not do it, not because we can't afford it. We want to make sure that we don't cause anybody this week. We want folk to study the Word of God and know it for themselves. And we want all the glory to God, to go to God. And it says this now. For someone seed, let me finish reading verse number 10. But take care that the liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to you. For if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? See, you eat whatever. If it's sacrificed to idols, that's fine. If it's not, fine. All you need to do is say, thank you, Lord, for whatever you eat. But somebody else see you dying in Diana's temple, eating meat sacrificed to idols, because that's what they used to believe in. They're going to see, they say, well, Brother Gary eating that sacrifice to idols, it's all right for me to eat a sacrifice. But see, when they eat it, they're giving glory to the idol and not to God. And thereby, we are causing them to stumble and to sin and to grow weak. And so I say this to you. I say this to all of us. Let's be aware. Let's don't just do something because the world is doing it. Don't just follow everything hook, line, sinker. Don't spend all, you don't have to spend thousands of dollars every Christmas. You don't have to do, you don't have to put up lights because your neighbor is putting up lights. Yeah, and so as we study and as we try to grow in the will of God, let's stay in a right relationship with God. And again, I don't want you to claim that you are holier than thou, and that you know, but Gary, we shouldn't do this, you know, because there are a lot of things. For instance, we partake the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day, and we have the fruit of the vine, we have the bread, and there are things that we do in our own home we don't do when we come to corporate worship. We don't have fried chicken and chitlins and on the Lord. So, why? Because this is the example that we have in the Bible. And there are a lot of things. See, some of you, see, when we come here and we sing, the Bible says for us to sing psalms and hymns, notice this, and spiritual songs. That's why we don't sing the blues and jazz and rap. But some of you listen to that on your radio. If I go in your car right now and sit in your car, I was at a meeting, a preacher's meeting a couple of weeks ago. Well, no, it's been a little bit longer than that. And you know, preachers, we talk about everything. They have good different subjects. All these holy guys in there, they talking about spirituality. And we sitting in there, and it got a little quiet, and one of the preacher's phones went off. It was so hilarious because he had a ringtone, and what's the guy? Oh, I can't remember. What's the guy? That's Charlie Wilson. The song came. What's the song about? There go my baby. What is that? It. Oh, the song went off, and just the whole room just lit up. And we laughed and laughed and laughed, because I said, that didn't sound like a spiritual song to me. And so to say, it's all right. It's still all right to teach the truth, amen, is it? Amen. It's still all right to teach our children why we doing what we doing, why we don't do this. It's all right to teach. It's all right to know what truth is, so we're not bamboozled and backdoored. And why people that were, somebody's going to ask you, well, what y'all big fifth wall church of Christ, why y'all don't have a big community egg hunt? No, that's not how the Lord evangelized. That's not, now we don't want to evangelize on basis of something that is not of God, amen, somebody. We can do some community efforts. We do a lot of community things out in the community, but we choose not to be associated with Queen Semiramis, if you will, amen. I know that it doesn't actually mean the same as it meant back then, but that's where it originated from. And we're going to stay far away from that. Is that all right? You here today and you are not a child of God. You need to be. It is the absolute best life. And you come to the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is. And that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth what your heart believes, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, God adds you to his church, and you become a Christian, a saint. And we be faithful unto death. I want to read my last passage in my notes. Last passage in my notes. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their distresses and to keep oneself unstained or unspotted from the world. And so we don't want to look like the world, especially when we come together corporately. So we don't want to look like the world. We don't ever want our church to look like a club, amen, if you will. So we want to be a distinct. When folks come in here to serve the Lord, we don't want to know that they're with God's people serving God. We not at Minute Maid. We not at the comp, what used to be the whatever. We not at none of the ballparks. We're in the house of God. And all the glory should go to God. Somebody come to Jesus this morning. If you have a prayer request, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, prepare to meet thy God.
Careless soul,
heed the warning, for your life
will soon be gone.
Will
soon be gone.
Oh, how sad to face the judgment.
Unprepared to meet thy God.
Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spent in folly?
Prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul,
heed thy warning, for your life
will soon be gone.
How sad to face thy judgment.
Unprepared
to meet thy God.